everybody. Welcome to our ANF podcast today. My name is Kate M., and I'm here with all four librarians from the Adult Nonfiction Department. You guys can go ahead and introduce yourself so we'll know your voice.
Hello, I'm Kate B.
I'm Kathy Shampo.
I am Uma Ravishankar.
I'm not sure who's aware that April is Poetry Month. So this month, we're really excited to talk to you guys about a variety of topics in the realm of poetry. And we're actually going to start out today with a song.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to start off a little different today with this song. Janagana mana adhinayaka jayahe bharata bhagyavi dhata Punjab, Sindhu, Gujarat, Maratha, Dravida, Utkala, Vanga, Vindhya, Himachala, Yamuna, Ganga, Uchala, Jaladi, Taranga, Tava Shubhaname, Jage, Tava Shubhasishamage, Gahe, Tava Jaya Gatha, Janagana Mangala Dayaka Jayahe Bharata Bhagya Vidhata Jayahe 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 Jaya 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 Jayahe.
Oh my God! Awesome. Congratulations!
Thank you.
That was so pretty. I mean, so obviously that was in let me guess, Bengali.
Oh yeah, that is Indian national anthem in Bengali language.
It's a nice song.
Thank you. It's a national anthem, Indian national anthem.
Okay,
and
so
written by the.
Why did you choose that, Uma, for
because
poetry?
The person who wrote this national anthem was a great poet, famous poet. His name was Rabindranath Tagore.
Ooh.
It's a poetry month, so I thought I will introduce this poet to all of us, Indian poet, Rabindranath Tagore. He's from West Bengal. He's a Bengali poet, but he had written this national anthem as well. And he was born actually in 1861, on May 7th, 1861. And has inspired generations of people through his poetry, writings, and thoughts.
Well, I hate to take over you guys, sorry. I was just gonna ask Uma if she would mind giving us a translation in English.
Well, yeah. Of course, I can do that.
I think I heard the word Hindu in the beginning, I heard Madras in the beginning, and something else.
So I heard Bengali in there.
Bengali. Yeah. So are they talking about different states, the way that we had the United States of America?
Yes. You are correct, Kate. You guessed it right. Because it's a big country and we have a lot of states and each state speak different language. And there are so many rivers and all the Himalayas mountains, you know, the famous mountain Himalayas. So he put all those things together and he wrote this song. And I can read out the meaning for this song. Thou art the ruler of the minds of all people, dispenser of India's destiny. The name rouses the hearts of the Punjab. It's a state. Sindh, Gujarat, and Maratha, of the Dravid and Orissa and Bengal. It echoes in the hills of Vindhyas. Vindhya is a hill. It's the name of the hill. And Himalayas mingles in the music of the Jamuna, that is Yamuna River, and the Ganges, and is chanted by the waves of the Indian Sea.
Beautiful.
The pray for the blessings and sing by the praise, the savings of all people waits in thy hand. Thou dispenser of India's destiny, victory, victory, victory to thee. Because we got the independence And January 24th, he released this song, because January 26th was in a Republic Day. Although India got independence August 15th, 1947, but still Britishers were ruling the country, and they left the country only on January 26th. So that day, again, they celebrated as a Republic Day.
Cool. Oh, wow. Do you know if he originally wrote it as a song, or was it like a poem that was later set to music or something?
No, he wrote it as a song, and then they put all the music and everything, and they made it as an anthem.
Yes. Yeah, like Francis Scott Key wrote the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner. He was also an author of different type, but a poet. But he did not write the music to the Star Spangled Banner. That was an old song. It's, what's it called? Let's see. To Anacreon in Heaven, and the Anacreons were a gentleman's club, really. So the tune was an old tune that the Star Spangled Banner has, and he wrote the lyrics, of course, during the War of 1812. So he didn't write the music as well, but in the case of the Indian National Anthem, I believe he did write the music as well. And what about that poet is such an important person, because he was the first European to win a big prize.
He got a very good Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize for Literature, I just ordered the book that he won the Nobel Prize for. We were kind of underrepresented in Indian poetry. So I have a few things in a cart right now. So those of you who are interested in that might enjoy seeing some more of his work. As well as a compilation of Indian love poems by a variety of authors. So I appreciate Uma for making sure that our collection has everything.
Thank you very much, Kate. And I would like to mention here what work, he got a Nobel Prize for his famous work. That name is Gitanjali. For that, he won the Nobel Prize for that for literature in 1913. He received the Nobel Prize for this.
Well, I have one little factoid question for you, Uma, and that is, when you were talking about the famous mountains and you said Himalaya, right?
Mountains,
is that the ones that we pronounce in English as Himalaya?
Yes.
Okay.
Himalaya,
so
but actually Himalaya.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, gosh.
So that's sound smart and pronounce it the right way.
Yeah. And then people go, you're just trying to be, puppety or something.
Every time. The poet who wrote the Indian National Anthem, he founded a university, and it's still there. It's 100 years, almost 99 years, and foreign students can go there and get a certificate in different areas of study of India. Very interesting.
Thank you very much, and I really happy that you came to know one of our Indian poets here now today. Rabindranath Tagore.
That's great, because every time we have talks like this, I learn something new.
So something that's kind of related to that I've been exploring a little bit just in preparation for this is, like, as far as song lyrics go, what counts as poetry and what doesn't? Because, like you mentioned, winning the Nobel Prize for Literature, and Bob Dylan won it in 2016 for his whole body of work. So I guess I'm sort of thinking about, where do you draw the line between what lyrics count as poetry and what's just pop or more fluff type stuff?
I think if it's really good, it's a poem. If it's not so good and it's just a lot of repetition, then it's not a poem, it's just lyrics.
Yeah. Most pop music is just lyrics, but there's some good stuff. But I have this book, and it was picked as a Michigan Notable book last year. It's called Respect, the Poetry of Detroit Music.
Oh.
And I just think, because I've never been huge into poetry personally, but I think something like this is a really good introduction for someone who's maybe reluctant to get into poetry, because some of them are poems about the music of Detroit, or just about, Detroit, listening to music in Detroit, all that. But then they also, whoever compiled this, also included some song lyrics. So like there's Motown song lyrics interspersed throughout. They've got
the best.
Yeah. This made me laugh that they included this. Do you guys remember the rap battle scene in the movie 8 Mile with Eminem?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. So yes.
The song he sang, Lose Yourself, which there's like all over the internet about it now, about how he's talking about throwing up mom's spaghetti. That's included in here. Eminem, Lose Yourself.
Oh, okay. And that was in the rap battle? I didn't remember
that
about
that. That was in the rap battle. And then the poem that they included right after that is an original that somebody wrote called Haiku for Eminem.
Oh, you should.
It's only a haiku. It's probably, you know, three lines.
Well, it looks like it's actually about 20 haikus in a row.
Oh.
I'll just read the first couple.
Okay.
The slim LP ruled. It came right out of the blue. You were a cipher. Happy music and self-loathing and all those words made for good music. And then it goes on, but it's kind of funny that somebody wrote a haiku about him.
I think a few years ago, and I think it was back, because I have a picture of myself still working at Old South, so it would have been in the early 2000s, and it was proposed, and it's really vague about this, but I'm pretty sure it happened, that Bob Dylan be declared the poet laureate for 1 year, that year, whatever year that was.
The same year he won the Nobel Prize?
I don't know.
Oh, no, because that was just 2016, so it was a long time ago that you would have been at South.
Yes, right. And I remember there being a lot of controversy. And even I thought, I don't know if he deserves to be the poet laureate, considering all the other wonderful poets. I mean, you know, and so I was not enthused about that. And he didn't make it. You know, I think it was just a little too controversial.
Yeah.
You know.
And that reminds me of, I totally forgot about this before, but I think Leonard Cohen was a poet before he ever even started making music.
Right. His lyrics are awesome. Oh my God. And I had a friend who used to talk about Leonard Cohen, and I love him. Decadently, whatever it was decadent depression or something. Just if you want to be slightly depressed, you can just dive into Leonard Cohen.
And I watched a documentary about him like probably a decade ago or something, and they were interviewing him, and he said, there's this misconception that I'm a ladies' man. And he's like, misconception that I cursed in the thousand nights I spent alone.
I'm so sad because he died too young.
He did.
I love that a victory march.
I love that too.
Yes, a great line.
I loved the Tower of Love was one that's great. And then there's another one, it's real irreverent. I can't say the things out loud that he said in it. It would be offensive. But he's wonderful. If anybody ever wants some awesome lyrics / poems, Leonard Cohen's your man too.
Yeah.
Are you a music lover? Try Freegal. You can download 5 free MP3 songs every week. No need to return. You can also stream music for 5 hours every day and make playlists. Check it out at cmpl.org.
I too was not a huge fan of poetry until Kate Brown, and you can catch her readings, did some readings on our Facebook. And if you go back through time, when we first started from last year, there are, I don't know how many you did, Kate, but there were 4 or 5 that were such fan favorites. I'm not kidding. She had a fan club. At any rate, I guess what I'll talk about is an experience that my daughter and I had when she was in high school. Katie went to a really nice high school, and she had an English class, and it was incomprehensible for her, the poetry readings that she had to do. And so what I did to help her out was we would sit at in our back room here, our living room, and we would go over each poem. Okay, this isn't too long a story. And I would read it out loud, and then we would try together to figure out what it was about. And just by reading it out loud, and then we used, you know, she used a couple of helps from the internet, then it was so much easier for her to figure it out. So by the very act of reading it out and working together on it, she managed to really do well in that class. But the sad part was the teacher thought she cheated. And so in class, she made the teacher was didn't like her very much at any rate, and said something like, well, if anybody doesn't understand it, just ask Katie. She's the expert.
Oh my
gosh. Was an obvious dig. And wow. So I thought, well, that's what we get, because I was very conscious of not cheating and of helping her, you know, to understand, but in a very reciprocal way. So that was
sounds bad. Like that teacher lacks maturity.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Well, that was a long time ago, you know, but at any rate, but the poet that I do like and I was introduced to several years ago is Billy Collins. We have most of his books. He was a poet laureate for 2 years in a row. And one of the reasons I like him is he's so understandable. He's accessible. There's some gentle humor that runs throughout his poetry. And he really likes the fact that he said when there was an interview that he likes to talk in his poems like he's talking to a person, and, you know, not using a lot of metaphor and things that the average person wouldn't get. So he's very straightforward in his poetry. So I'm going to read one of his poems and you'll see what I mean. And the poem is called The Dead. Okay. It says, the dead are always looking down on us, as they say, while we are putting on our shoes or making a sandwich, they are looking down through the glass-bottom boats of heaven as they row themselves slowly through eternity. They watch the tops of our heads moving below the earth, and when we lie down in a field or on a couch, drugged by perhaps by the hum of a warm afternoon, they think we are looking back at them, which makes them lift their oars and fall silent and wait, like parents, for us to close our eyes.
Oh, great. Nice. Very nice poem. You did a great job, Kathy.
Thanks. Well, I'm not the best reader, but so in a nutshell, that's totally understandable. And that's why I like him. And all of his poems are kind of like that. Most of them are longer. So I didn't want to, you know, read a really long one. But I think that you would really enjoy his poetry. We have plenty by him in the library. And as I said, he's very popular, very well known, and was poet laureate. So,
yeah, I noticed at least one or two in the display.
Yeah, I made a whole Billy Collins little shelf. Yeah. Like, I think there's three of his books up there, and there's one book that we have, Aimless Love, on CD. So I hope he's reading him himself. I don't remember the reader, but I hope it's him, because he reads his work very nicely in that same kind of understated, normal, you know, modern sound, you know, and,
right.
And it's really a great place. To get into poetry, because he is so accessible and yet really excellent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I like that you don't have to guess what he's getting at.
Right. No, it's straightforward for sure.
Well, okay. One more thing I was going to say, sorry, because I just thought of something, another thing. I fell in love with a poem in college by William Blake. And I can recite the first stanza, tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forest of the night. What immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? That, I don't know, it just gives me goosebumps, you know. And then the rest of the poem is, you know, fairly straightforward, simplistic, I thought. And then doing a research for this podcast, I looked up that poem. It was too long to read, but it talked about all the metaphor and all the meaning and the religion and the God and the this and the that. And I thought, wait a minute, I didn't know it was so complicated. So it's so funny that it's ironic that I love that poem thinking it was straightforward, when in reality, it had a lot more depth to it than I, you know, possibly understood.
That's great.
My story.
That was great, Kathy. Sorry about you guys. And I had to leave. I have a program at 3 o'clock and I have to get ready for that. And bye to everyone. We really enjoyed poems here.
Okay.
Uma. Bye, Uma.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Enjoyed hearing the national anthem.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
So I'm just going to mention a couple of things we have coming up. As far as poetry goes, of course, Kathy mentioned that I read some poems on the internet, and that was because I couldn't do my favorite display, the Poetry Month display. And we just talked about the Billy Collins books that are out there. There's books from a bunch of different poets, kind of across the spectrum, and little quotes, lines here and there, sometimes the whole poem, but usually just a line or a stanza from a poem or on a little clip. So you can read them. There are just a few. And I will put some poems out there. So if you pass by, you can take a poem and have a poem for yourself.
Cool.
So
it's a great display, Kate.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun to do that one. All month, that'll be up in the adult nonfiction area if you're interested in taking a look. And on April 14th, so that's a Wednesday at 6:30, I'm doing a program with our coworker, Nicole, from PopMat, Popular Materials, and it's called Found Poetry. So you can pick up a kit and from the library, and all it has in it is about 10 lines of actual poems, different poems that we both chose, and a few pages from books that were withdrawn, and a couple of magazine pages and some construction paper. And the idea is you can cut out lines, phrases, a single word, maybe even letters, whatever you want to do, and create a poem. And of course, you don't really need our kit, but it's kind of nice to have everything all together. And those lines of poetry, sometimes people will write a poem in response to another poem. So you might want to put that line at the front and then write something that answers the poet or that line of the poem, or you could not do it that way. I think it's better to just look at the lines and don't look on the back of the instructions, because on the back of the instructions, it tells you the full name of the poem and the author. And you may make judgments about that knowing something different about it. But you can do anything you want with it, really. It's kind of really like doing refrigerator magnet poetry, you know, that's always fun. So you can kind of make a poem like that and join us, and we'll be doing it and over Zoom too. So
that,
if you want
really
to link to that, just call the library. Yeah, it should be pretty fun. And then our next ANF chat, which is April 28th, still at 10 o'clock, is going to be dedicated to poetry. We'll talk more about poetry. And then if anyone remembers last year, there was a poetry walk in the Arboretum with that's next to the main library, and it had 16 poems then. Well, it's back this year with 25 poems.
Whoa.
And that should run from May 10th. I think all the poems will be up and in place right through September 24th, I think, after Festival of the Senses. So I hope we'll keep on doing this. I'm already getting poems for next year and thinking about what would be on next year. But just for fun, I thought I would read a quick poem that will be out there in the Poetry Walk, and you can look for it. I don't know what number it is, but it's going to be one of the poems that's out there. And it's called April is a Dog's Dream by Marilyn Singer. April is a dog's dream. The soft grass is growing. The sweet breeze is blowing. The air all full of singing feels just right. So no excuses now. We're going to the park to chase and charge and chew. And I will make you see what spring is all about.
Oh my gosh.
That's really nice.
That's so nice.
Isn't that nice? Yes. And Marilyn Singer, I have to say, graciously gave us permission to post her poem in the Poetry Walk. I asked a few people this year if they were easy to find and they're still alive in the area. I asked them, and everyone said yes and was very happy to be included.
Well, Kate, what is the you have it on display, and it's called Dog Songs, Who wrote
Dog Songs? Mary Oliver's book. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you that that's just what I decided I'll talk about at the ANF chat. That book had so many beautiful poems in it. And Katie, my daughter, lost her beloved pet of 15 years, Rudy. And there was a poem in there that immediately I started choking up, but it was so beautiful and so aptly described her beloved dog that I sent it to her. And even though I'm sure it made her sad, it was just so heartwarming and wonderful. So I'm excited because now I have something I can talk about at the chat.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a wonderful book. I have it there with one that's also about poems about pets. But yeah, Mary Oliver's Dog Songs. If you like dogs, that's a great book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. Don't, when you go into work, Kate Mazzara, pull that for me so nobody else gets it.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, I guess we're at 2:30, so Uma's got to use this account. So
right.
That's about it from us. We had a pretty good time talking about poetry today.
Yeah, I think. I had fun.
Yeah. So thanks to anybody that was listening, and we'll see you next time.
Okie dokie.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.